Welcome to Florida.
That is the voice of New York Times bestselling author and award-winning environmental reporter Craig Pittman. My name is Chad Scott, and this is Welcome to Florida. We've talked, since the start of the podcast, a lot about water. Last week's episode was primarily about water with phosphorus runoff, blue-green algae. We've had so many episodes on, the springs and the Gulf and the Everglades and Lake Okeechobee, just going through a few in my mind, tarpon fishing. But your latest Florida Phoenix column, Craig, floridaphoenix.com, talks about another water quality problem in Florida, but one we've, on the podcast anyways, yet to discuss.
Yeah, and I was shocked, but the EPA reported last week that there was a new distinction for the state of Florida. We lead the country in lead pipes delivering water to people's homes. And I know it's really alarming that we have so many lead pipes here and that people really don't realize it and that they're in danger because you don't want lead in your water by any means, especially if you have small children in the house because it hurts their development. And so, you know, the story comes out and everybody goes, oh, that's interesting. And I thought, well, wait a minute, I want to know more about that. So I contacted the EPA, talked to a bunch of experts and so forth, and it's really alarming. And we ought to be doing something about it. But, you know, all the politicians who say they're concerned about children, they're worried about drag shows and dirty books and not about the water that the kids are drinking.
Yes, we've got drag shows and biographies of Hank Aaron to ban before we worry about lead poisoning. Lead is a heavy metal. When you use it in pipes to transmit water, over time, those infinitesimal amounts can add up in tissue. So you end up with a wide variety of health problems from that. Lead pipes aren't still allowed in new construction, are they?
They're not supposed to be. But you know, you can use them and literally bury the evidence. So who's going to know? The EPA report,
The family who has a kid with cancer, 6 years down the road.
Yeah. The EPA report was based on information they received from the state's water utilities. So they're the folks who would know about all the lead pipes that are going in. And, it's just really surprising that this isn't something that nobody's been talking about before now.
FloridaPhoenix.com. We are almost to our 20 Patreon threshold. Craig and I rolled out a Patreon support model a couple of weeks ago for Welcome to Florida. If you go to patreon.com/welcome to Florida, you can become a patron of the podcast for just $5 a month. You can support Craig and I as we put this show together every week. And when we reach 20 Patreons and we're, you know, depending on the day you listen to this, we're like three or four away from that threshold. So help us push that number over 20. And then we're going to release a special Patreon only episode behind the scenes of the podcast, tell you how we put the recording together and how the sausage is made here on the podcast, how Craig and I met and how we do the workflow being mentioned, some of our favorite
and of course our elaborate makeup routines. So
absolutely we will spill all the tea, as the kids say, about Welcome to Florida if we get to that 20 patron figure on patreon.com, and we're right there. Help us push over the top. patreon.com/welcome to Florida. Well, here's a topic, Craig, for the Sunshine State, for Welcome to Florida, something that I've wanted to know more about for a long time. Today we discuss solar energy in Florida,
which you would think it'd be just a no-brainer. We're the Sunshine State. Why aren't we getting our energy from the sunshine? And yet Florida has consistently lagged behind other states in installing solar panels. So Florida's, I was curious about why.
Florida is third in solar capacity, the ability to generate energy, but we're only 14th in installation. And only a little more than 5% of our electricity comes from solar energy. We've talked on the podcast before how for Florida, despite all of our coastline, wind is a loser here because we don't have the wind currents. You know, our wind currents,
it's not steady.
It's not steady. It's not regularly strong enough to power wind generation. So for renewable energy in Florida, we are pretty much all in with Florida, with solar, excuse me. But as recently as a couple of years ago, the state received an F from the Center for Biological Diversity for its use of solar power. So we're talking to James Fenton today, and James is the director of the Florida Solar Energy Center. He's been there since 2005. It runs out of UCF, so there is no greater expert in the state when it comes to solar energy, the production of electricity from solar energy, how we can do more, why we haven't done more in the past. And that's today's topic that I'm really looking forward to.
Me too. Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us today. You've been with the Florida Solar Center for quite a while, almost from the beginning of solar in Florida. Is that how that kind of got started?
Well, no. I have been here 17 years, so that's a reasonable amount of time. Mm-hmm. But the Florida Solar Energy Center was created in 1973.
Wow.
During the first Arab oil embargo. Okay. And we were actually created by the Florida legislature because there was panic that we were dependent on outside sources for fossil fuel coming to the state of Florida, and we could take advantage of the sun and put solar thermal hot water heaters on our roofs, but nobody, they were being made in garages and so forth, and somebody needed to test and certify them.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so I was only 16 in 1973, by the way, about the same time we invented Earth Day too. So, and Richard Nixon was president, if it gives you time to play with that, who created the EPA, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
But I've been involved with solar, and even solar has evolved a lot. Okay. In 2009 timeframe, which isn't all that long ago, you only put solar wherever you couldn't pay, where the extension cord was too long. So we put solar on the International Space Station because the extension cord was too long. Okay. We put solar on the highways out here on the beach line because it was cheaper to put solar in batteries than it was to run the wires. Today, solar is the cheapest power plant around. The argument is who owns it now, okay, whether you do or the utility does.
Well, we're the sunshine state. Why isn't solar bigger in Florida now?
Well, we do have sunshine, and you're right. There is more rooftop solar in New Jersey and Massachusetts. It's not only the solar resources, but it's the price you're paying out of the wall in the first place. So there were several places in the Northeast in particular where the price of electricity out of the wall was more expensive than solar was at that time. Right now, you're out of the wall here in Florida. Back at that time, it was PV might have cost you 11 cents, but the utility was charging you 10 cents a kilowatt hour. In New Jersey, the utility was charging you 17 cents, and their electricity on the roof was 12. See, so it took a while. The magic turnover occurred in about 2017 for us in Florida. Now, we are making progress. Okay, we're building solar both residential and utility wise faster than you would think of.
Who's doing more? Is it homeowners or is it utilities?
The utilities are as a whole are well. So let me remind you what the business model is. Electric utility in Florida makes money when it owns the power plant. Okay, all right. This is the first time somebody else has got to own a power plant, solar on your roof. So the utilities don't like it when you own a solar on your roof because you're not paying for their power plant, but your shareholders make a profit. Okay. Now, in fairness, solar on your roof is an efficiency measure. We are growing substantially in our solar. Okay. Not anywhere near as much as California rooftop or even Texas rooftop. But since we're the third largest state, you can imagine we have the third most amount. So we're doing pretty well. We can do a lot better things with that. The way I would describe solar for you is the solar on my roof produces electricity that goes into my Nissan Leaf, okay, which is a battery-powered car. It's made in Florida. All the jobs came with it from Florida, and I'm paying the equivalent of 29 cents a gallon. So wow. I want to talk to you about solar as a transportation fuel made in Florida, okay? It clearly is good for electricity. Clearly, buildings efficiencies, you want to do that. But when it comes to transportation, you know, electric cars are cheaper and you can use solar on your roof. Yeah. And by the way, if you put PV on your roof, okay, to power your car and power this, eventually you use the car battery as backup power for your house when you lose power.
All right. What's PD?
Oh, I'm sorry. Photovoltaics, the solar to electric. Okay,
those are the panels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Those are panels of solar.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine. And like Craig, I'm resisting the urge to jump ahead and say, what the hell? Why isn't there more solar in Florida? But let's take it a few.
The quick answer is upfront costs. The quick answer is upfront cost.
We'll get there in a more detailed answer, but to lay a little bit of the groundwork here, what is the capacity for solar in Florida to meet our energy needs?
Okay. We don't have any problems getting to 100% renewable with solar in Florida. Mm-hmm. Okay. The question is, where's the free real estate? Okay. An electric utility, if they put a 75 megawatt solar field in, typically it's 550 acres. Mm-hmm. You're obviously not putting that in downtown Miami. Okay. Yeah. And then in downtown Miami, there's not enough rooftops to cover all the solar either. Okay. But out in suburbia and things like this, you can be a net zero home having enough solar that you can completely offset your electricity. So the answer is we have plenty of real estate to do all that. Sometimes it requires shipping of the electricity around. And one of the things I do like to remind everybody is that solar on your roof makes electricity where you want it. When we have hurricanes, the solar fields for the utilities have will still make power. The wires may not be working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's trade-offs with all that.
Yeah. You bring up a good question. And this is something particularly out west, I'm seeing more of this land use issue. Solar takes up a lot of real estate. You know, these big solar fields require, you know, at industrial scale, we're talking about powering a city, take hundreds of acres, and conservation groups a lot of times say, hey, you know, we want the clean energy, but to put it in here, you're going to destroy a prairie with, you know, grasshopper sparrows and these endangered species. Tell us a little bit about in Florida, how that push and pull works for this clean energy we crave tremendously while protecting the remaining fragments of natural, undeveloped wild ecology, supporting land area.
Yeah, there's clearly a trade-off there. There's cost. There's cost of the lands. There's the environmental impacts. I mean, you have to look at all these things like you would. Most utility solar fields are screw anchors. So you basically just put a big metal post in and it screws into the ground. Mm-hmm. Not putting any cement in, not doing anything else. Okay. Now, raising their elevation. Okay. So up in Vermont, as an example, there's sheep under every single one of the solar panels up there because they're mm-hmm. eating the grass. Okay. Mm-hmm. Keeping in mind, as you raise them up higher off the ground to allow more of the shade and things, you could do agriculture underneath. Of course, we're concerned about hurricanes and there's balancings with that. I do want to let you know that Florida has more man-made water acreage than any other state in the United States. So putting floating solar on water
Interesting.
Is a very good, effective thing to do. And we
all these retention ponds everywhere.
Yeah, all these retention ponds. We actually have a contract where we're leading the nation's effort looking at that exact thing, but with the water quality issues, the water resources, what's it do to the plant life, and so on and so forth. Interestingly enough, of course, you're mixing water with electricity. You've got issues to deal mm-hmm. with. Some ways the water actually keeps the panels a little bit cooler. When photovoltaic PV panels get really hot, they're not as efficient. Okay. Mm-hmm. Making electricity, it turns it all into heat instead of photons to electricity. So there can be some trade-offs with that. So being creative. Now, rooftops are free real estate. Okay. Parking garages are free real estate. Yes, you pay more for canopies. Yes, you pay more for these kind of things. But I think that we'll start to take advantage of that. One of the other problems that we have sort of is that for the consumer of solar electric in their applications is to really lower their electric bill. You're not in the power producing business. You're in the lower your electric bill. Okay. And I would always tell you to go with efficiency first. Solar, you make money on solar. You know, my argument when somebody asks me about solar is I say, do you own your roof? And do you, that's important. By the way, if you're a renter, there's no options for you. We can get into that too. So you have to own your roof. I'm assuming you have an electric bill. Okay. All right. And then I asked the question, do you already have $10,000 or $20,000 in the stock market? And
why is that important? Or what is that?
Because if you're going to spend $20,000 up front for a PV panel, and I can tell you it's a 13.1% internal rate of return, I can say, well, take the $20,000 out of the stock market, put it on your roof, and you'll make more money. and it's fixed for the next 25 years.
Good point.
Okay. The problem with any of these new technologies, with smart meters or electric cars or all these things, which over their lifetime are good investments, they're all upfront costs. Okay. Now, yeah, we do not allow something called power purchase agreements to consumers. The only person that can sell you electricity is an electric utility. In other states, I mentioned earlier that I'm in Vermont, I walk into Home Depot and there's a guy coming up to me working for some solar company. And they'll say, hey, Mr. Fenton, you know, what's your electric bill typically on the house? Okay. And I go along. I eventually tell him I work at the Florida Solar Energy Center. I know all this stuff. But his business deal is, we will go put PV on your roof. We'll take care of it completely. We'll manage it all. And we'll sell you electricity. And it'll be cheaper than what you're paying the utility now.
Gotcha. Because they want to use you as the provider, yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Well, so no. So in this particular case, that company is actually selling me electricity. In Florida, that's illegal.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whether I put the PV plant up on the roof and I owned it, okay, or this guy put it up and he owned it, it's the same physical pieces of equipment. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just how you move money around. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Florida believes in socialism and likes no choice in who you buy your electricity from. And so we have this regulated monopoly environment. Now, the utilities do fund me in research into what I just said was sacrilege, but
will you be struck by lightning?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's an interesting joke. Part of the reason why FSEC exists and we do so much in solar is that of the five regions in the United States, we fit the hot, humid, and lightning one. And so anybody who wants to sell PV panels in the United States, test them at our place.
Yeah. Well, and that's lightning.
That's interesting.
You talk about the socialism aspect. Very curious that it's okay for our utilities to be socialized, but the rest of the state government and our governor and legislature talks about how this is the free state of Florida, free market economy. Everything is free, but not the utilities. Utilities get a pass on this? Could it have anything to do with political donations or political stroke in the Capitol?
Well, in fairness, the reason we created regulated monopolies is that if grandma lived 2 miles away, we did this with the phones too. When grandma lives 2 miles away in her phone, if grandma had to pay for the cost of that wire all by herself, mm-hmm. it'd never happen.
Sure.
And so we decided to spread it around. Okay. Now, we've done different things with these models. With the trains across the United States, we said, we'll give you the land and all the trees within 5 miles and so the railroads. And to this day, there are places where they don't really use the trains, but the train company will run their train back and forth on the land just owned on the property. Okay. So those things can be misused. I'll ask you a different question.
Okay.
Who owns the roads?
Taxpayers.
Transportation.
We do. And yet we then, through the government, okay, hires out contractors, independent businesses that can make money, okay, and runs all that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as an example, who owns railroad tracks? Train companies do. So does that mean we, the people, subsidize trucking? You bet we do. Okay, just based on the business model. Now, why couldn't we own all the wires and let everybody compete to put power on? Okay. We could come up with that model. I don't think the utilities are going to agree with me on that. Okay. They'll tell you all these wonderful reasons why it doesn't work. Okay. I might argue with them a little bit about it.
Yeah.
The technology is there to solve our problems. We just have to embrace them. Yeah. Now, in fairness, I really do need utilities to do important things for me. And that's manage the movement of electricity around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where are some of the really big solar farms in Florida? I saw one and it shocked me because I had no idea it was there. They're driving through the panhandle and on I-10, and suddenly this huge field full of solar panels opened up on my left. I was stunned.
Like I said, they tend to be 500 acres. It's mm-hmm. it's interesting. So the answer is they're everywhere where I can get cheap dirt and maybe transmission lines are nearby.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they have to be in the certain territories too. Okay.
But what do you mean by territories?
The FPL's territory.
Okay.
You know, FPL wants to put the solar field okay, near their transmission lines, not put a solar field in Duke Territory's transmission lines. And so you have to work in that. And then, of course, you these aren't centralized power plants. Like the big, a nuclear power plant is 15 times power-wise the solar field. Okay, and keep in mind, the nuclear power plant could run 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of wires I got to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, at 10, in the old days, because nuclear power plants cost way more than that now, but in the old days, it was $10 billion for the nuclear power plant and $3 billion for the wires. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Solar, we tend to put, you know, cheap real estate near some high transmission line, maybe near some customers where I'm not shipping it very far. They can consume it up, you know? So, you know, the same place where they put car manufacturing facilities in other states, because we don't have any. You know, they might put PV in there and work that together out as they build a new factory. The utility puts a solar field in there, and then the company can meet their sustainability goals and all kinds of neat stuff. But so to answer your question, they're pretty much everywhere. I don't know how many FPL has and Duke has, but, you know, they're building them all the time. We in the United States, we build a nuclear power plant's worth of electricity. Okay. Like four of those a year. And we still haven't officially turned on that nuclear power plant we've been paying for the last 15 years in Georgia, but we haven't paid for it. But
have you been to check out the Solar City in Florida?
You mean Babcock Ranch?
Yes.
Sid Kitson?
Yes.
Yeah. So Sid Kitson used to be on my advisory board, tight end for the Green Bay Packers way back when. And he's got a sustainable committee. He's doing this. Okay. And he gave land to FPL. For FPL to put a 75 megawatt solar field on that land. And because they are a regulated monopoly, that electricity goes to everybody. Okay. So it's a wonderful community with an FPL power plant that happens to be solar on its property. Now, if you want to call that a solar city, you can. Okay. All right. It is. The solar is made there. In fairness, just like water, you know, you put water in one end of the pipe and some other water comes out the other end of the pipe. It's not the same water. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it is if the chemical composition is all the same and right stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yes, probably most of that solar that they make there does get used by people because the electricity is nearby. Okay. I'll guarantee that those solar electrons aren't going to them at night though. Okay. All right. So I think developing communities where we're incorporating solar, we're incorporating energy storage, developing communities where we're putting in electric vehicle chargers, and we're revolving this all around while making the buildings as energy efficient as we can. Just for a benefit, 54% of the electricity is used in Florida's homes. Wow. And I could argue that a lot of those homes are residences. There are people that don't own their roofs. So when I tell you that if you own your roof, by 2030, you can put enough solar on the roof and enough batteries in your house to be on average off the grid, and it would be cheaper than the grid. But, you know, we got to come up with financing policies and how do I do that to apartment owners and things like that. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the way these prices are dropping so fast.
Yeah. If you look at Florida's solar energy output, it covers just a little over 5% of all of our electricity.
Right.
What is the big hang up from getting that to 20, 30, 50, 75%?
Probably a lack of labor. You know, we
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I to tell you this, the clean energy workforce in Florida is twice as big as agriculture already today.
Wow.
Now, a lot of that is air conditioning. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get you your solar question. Mm-hmm. One of the jokes I like to say is that we need to find a business opportunity to take advantage of this one fact. A woman will only let a strange man into their house instantaneously if her air conditioner is broke. Okay. So when that strange man gets into the house, she'd get her efficient air conditioner and go in and do all the efficiency improvements too. Okay. And maybe put solar on her roof afterwards. We got to come up with some business models to take advantage of those kind of things. Absent-minded I was. Chad, your original question was what again?
Why are we stuck at this 5%? Oh. And what is preventing us from getting to 50? You know, we've got apparently we've got the land, we've got the know-how, the technology is there. Okay,
the
why
sun.
Aren't we at the sun? Why aren't we at 25, 50, 70% of our electric output at solar?
Well, Well, to get to zero emissions by 2050, okay, in Florida, that'll probably have to be close to 100% solar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're on a path towards that. Okay. This is one of those exponential things. Okay. I remind you, in 2009, nobody had solar. Okay. And so for the period of time it took us to get from 0 to 5% took, I don't know, 12 years or something.
Okay.
The next 12 years, we got to go from 5 to 90%.
And that seems daunting, but it may not be as difficult because the technology.
Oh yeah. If you actually look at the keep in mind 0.001 times a big number, it gets you 5.
Mm-hmm.
Going from 5 to 95 is only 15 or whatever it
okay.
is. No, 16, yeah. 17. So, yeah. You know, it is a relative scale thing. You know, some of it is supply chain interruptions. We got to manufacture PV. You know, there are issues about where we get the silicon from, where we're getting from this, trade agreements with China. You know, they're all important things. I want things made in America. Okay, don't get me wrong. But at least all the installation jobs are all here.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I don't want us to put restrict that. And there's more installation jobs than there is in manufacturing jobs too. Okay. Uh-huh. So whether I'd rather have the solar panels made in Florida and not somewhere else. Okay. Don't stop me from putting those people installing stuff in. Okay. All right. And by the way, the PV panels hold your roof down in the middle of hurricanes.
Okay? That's good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were talking about this labor shortage. What is the labor shortage that's holding things up?
We run the nation's only solar energy apprenticeship program in residential installers. Okay. A major manufacturer has been in my building for the last three, manufacturer of solar fields for utilities.
Mm-hmm.
They actually build them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they're carrying out their training of employees here. So they hire people, okay, off the street. Well, I shouldn't off the street. But, you know, maybe people that did outdoor work all the time
uh-huh.
before,
yeah.
you know, lawn
yeah.
crews and stuff like mm-hmm. that.
Okay. Ag workers, yeah.
They're trying to turn them into salary employees, grow mm-hmm. them in, to put them out in the fields. I mean, it's minor mechanical, minor electrical when you're digging ditches and you're mm-hmm. putting aluminum struts up and you're attaching PV panels with mechanical fasteners, or yeah. you're running wires between them. You know, we need a real electrician to actually hook wires up to stuff. But mm-hmm. but you know that's the kind of education level we've got, and there's just a shortage of them. And so we're working together with the companies to even doing the training and the education of it. It's the number one wind turbine installers and solar energy installers is the number one growth job. It's been that way for the last 3 or 4 years.
Wow. Okay.
So I would say we're limited by that. We've had the little, turf wars associated, made here, made there, taking advantage of, you know, slave labor or whatever it was, and all those issues. And we've got to get through those. But I don't think those have slowed them down. In a lot of the cases, it's the installation. And then the interesting thing is, the financing vehicles in Florida are horrible for this.
Really? Oh, that's interesting. But tell us more about that.
Well, so it's an upfront price. So let me give you you want to go buy a house.
Yeah.
You want to get a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They'll escrow your taxes and they'll escrow your insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want them to escrow the electric bill. Okay. Because you're required to pay it. And they want to make sure that you pay your electric bill. If you don't pay your electric bill, they shut the house down.
Right.
They should uh-huh. be doing this. Then the utilities look at it and say, hey, Mr. Fenton, you wanted to buy a $400,000 house. Okay. And the current electric bill on average, based on hiring, by the way, employees from the Florida Solar Energy Center, they've created the Home Energy Research Index. Okay. Mm-hmm. We actually grade your house, much like we do with the yellow appliance labels that are on mm-hmm. your appliances you buy, how well that yeah. energy efficiency is. Okay. And it turns out that we'd like to loan you more money. You needed $400,000, you're qualified, we'll give you a $440,000, and we will guarantee that your monthly payment is less than if we didn't do this. Oh, by the way, the value of your house goes up $40,000 because we put all these energy improvements in it.
Yeah.
Okay. And off we go. Okay. So you come back and you say, well, let's see, I got a 30-year mortgage and all the energy efficiency improvements have to be better than 30 years. And if they're better than 30 years, I actually save money the very first month.
Yeah.
Now, if they're less than a year, I save money really fast. Okay. Whammo, problem solved. Or, hey, we build new buildings in Florida all the time. Why don't we make them solar ready, EV ready, do all this stuff when we build them when their construction is cheaper, ready to do this. And we can prove to you that these are cost effective. Well, there's a disconnect. A builder builds you a box and you don't see the insulation in the walls, doesn't care about the energy bills. You get stuck with the energy bills. So they'll give you the biggest bikes and the gold shiny fire. But we can require that homes be rated right now. So there's a lot of little things that we can do policy wise that are slowing us down. But the technology keeps moving. Like I told you, 29 cents a gallon. That doesn't start and made in Florida and keeps all the money here.
And it's clean. On top of it.
It's clean. And we're not shipping $63 billion outside of the state for fossil fuels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was an effort in the legislature last year to basically kill off private solar.
Yes. Okay. So let's get into the details. So
okay,
right now, quite often, if your goal is, in a simplistic thinking, the idea is what I'd like to do is put enough solar on my roof that by the end of a year, the amount of electricity I used and the amount of electricity I made were the same number.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if that is indeed true, you don't own the utility for any energy and they're not paying you for any extra you make. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now they'll come back and say, yeah, but you're not paying for the wires. And I could argue maybe there's some truth to that. Mm-hmm. Well, that thing I just called you is called net metering. In the old days when you had a mechanical wheel that ran around in your electric meter, and if you weren't consuming the solar as much as you made it, it actually spin the wheel around backwards. And so your monthly meter, when they went and read it, was, you know, that's how they did it.
It was negative something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd go back somewhat. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's where the argument is. Should we have net metering? Currently in Florida, we do. The utilities want to stop that. Okay. So the utilities would like you to pay whatever rates they negotiate. And then when they buy solar back from you, they want to buy it at the avoided cost. So if they're buying, the average price in Florida now is almost up to 15 cents a kilowatt hour. It's gone up. Electricity prices have gone up like crazy. I don't know why you're complaining about gasoline. You can buy it at 29 cents for me. Okay. All right. But you guys buy it at $3 and whatever it is, 50. But be honest with you, electricity prices have gone even worse. But nobody knows about it. You know, you buy gasoline before you use it, you buy electricity after you use it. No wonder you don't pay any attention to it. And you don't understand the units and any of that stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so it's a struggle. I mean, you have to have good policy with good technology. And the business model for utilities is that they want to own capital equipment because that's how their shareholders make a profit. Now, a municipal utility like an Orlando Utility Commission doesn't necessarily think that way. And by the way, they're at 5% solar a little while ago. And since it's a small utility, every time they add one of those 75 megawatt solar fields, it gets to be a bigger and bigger number. So OUC thinks it'll be at about 25% solar within the next 5 years.
Wow.
And that's why the federal government had given OUC funds and myself to help them actually use electrolyzers, which is something that takes water, put electricity in, and yet you take water and you split it into hydrogen and oxygen. Then you store the hydrogen in a tank. A lithium ion battery holds 4 hours worth of energy. A tank can hold as much as you want. You want to double the range on your pickup truck? You throw 6 jerry cans full of gasoline in the back and you take off. Okay. If you had an electric pickup truck, how in the heck would you do that? Okay. If you put another truck on top of it, okay, you wouldn't go very far. Okay. So liquid energy and storage like that. So OUC is actually concerned about that. In fairness, so is FPL and Duke. I don't know if you guys heard about the hydrogen hubs and all that kind of cute stuff that's running around in it. The Southeast has turned in a proposal getting all the utilities working together to try to go after funds to take renewable energy and turn it into hydrogen. And so the utilities, in my mind, will be making transportation fuel more than they will be making electricity.
Wow.
The world's going to be different. That's all.
That's a topic for a different episode. Interesting. I'm sorry, Craig. Can I just follow up on your question real quick about the legislature and policy? You mentioned 1973, the Florida legislature wanted to invest more in solar and get off of fossil fuel. Right. What happened in the 50 years since where the Florida legislature seems to know nothing of solar, but by God, do they love fossil fuels?
Well, you know, it's interesting. when you talk about agriculture, you talk about buy local.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you talk about fossil fuels, you know, yeah, I don't want to ship my money to Iraq, but I don't want to ship it to Texas either. But apparently that's okay. Yeah. I don't get it either. Okay. All right. So, you know, I think the problem is everybody wants gasoline to be cheap. That's the real answer. In other words, we want to be Walmart. We don't want high quality. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or a better quality of life. And so we sort of run into that little problem, I think, is, and you're bombarded with the price of gasoline all the time. So you notice it and it can be a relative impact. So personally, I don't get it. I understand it. And then, of course, I think everybody still thinks in a lot of cases that electric cars are golf carts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is not, I feel like an 18-year-old, by the way. I drive my electric car. I look forward down Route 1. I'm digressing from your questions all the time, Chad. I apologize. but when I drive down Route 1, I love to get stopped by red lights. And if a Corvette sits next to me, or it doesn't matter who it is. Okay. So somebody sits next to me. My rule is I'll go 5 miles over. 0 to 5 miles over the speed limit as fast as I can.
Yeah.
Okay. So when it's 45, I go 0 to 50.
Mm-hmm.
Corvette's still in the intersection.
Yeah. Anyone who's ever been in or driven an electric car knows they are better in every measurable way. Period.
Yeah. They are. They are.
Performance, now, you know, it doesn't matter. They're better in every single way.
Right. The upfront cost and the concern about the charging stations and doing this. You know, my car is basically a cell phone on wheels.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but can you get that vroom vroom noise?
No,
matters to a lot of people. You know, that throaty V8 Corvette, rev the engine, Charger, Challenger kind of peel out. Yeah, that matters to a generation of people who really don't care what tomorrow looks like or what the climate is in 10 years.
My car makes noise when I put it in reverse.
Yeah.
Okay. No, because if I pull out of a parking lot, the people walking around the parking lot, they don't know I'm moving.
Right.
Okay. I have driven through UCF's main campus parking lot with co-eds in front of me and they have no clue I'm there. Okay. So it is worrisome, you know, for deaf people walking across intersections and stuff like that, you know, if you can't hear them or see them, in deer territory, you used to always put those little things that made a high pitched sound and scare the deers off cars. So yeah, we may have to put sound back into the vehicles a little bit because of some of those reasons.
Do you expect the net meter, the attack on net metering to come back? I mean, the only thing that stopped it this last time was the governor vetoed it. And did so based on the cost.
Maybe. I think he vetoed it. Keep in mind, he vetoed a bill that was going to come into place 2 years, okay? And he hadn't been reelected as governor yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next time it comes up, will he veto it again? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
No, he made it very clear he was leaving the door open for him to bring it back.
Yeah. So there will always be a battle. In fairness, there's been battles in California on that too. Mm-hmm. And there's some legitimacy behind it. Until we really truly do the true cost of anything, you're going to always have argument. Okay. We need to bookkeep all the costs. What is the true cost of a wire is an example. So when you're a snowbird and you don't live in the house and there's no electricity going in, you're not paying for the wires either. Why don't you complain about them? Okay. Because it costs a wire to have it there. But you don't do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can come up with real costs. You know, when we go decide to put sewers in for people, we take the total cost divided by the number of people. You might've gotten a bigger pipe. Somebody else might've got a bigger. We know how to solve these problems. We just choose not to do them. And you know, I don't want to go into guns, you know?
Yeah. But let's say I'm a homeowner who doesn't have solar panels on his roof, but I'm thinking about it. What advice would you give someone like that?
I would encourage you to look up Solar United Neighbors. It's a cooperative organization that pools people together that might be interested in solar. They have a lot of education.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you typed in Google Solar United Neighbors,
I'll put a link to that. I'll send you a link.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
But the concept behind it's good. We can argue exactly all about all kinds of implications. But what they do is they pool people, they educate. They pull people together. When they get, say, 100 people that are interested, no money down, no nothing. Mm-hmm. You're just interested in that. Then they'll get together with 6 very strong individuals that kind of know numbers and things that are out of that 100 customers. And they write out a bid. This group helps them get bids, and they put out bids to various contractors. Okay. And so as a result, they might get 20 bids. And what happens is they pick a supplier that sort of has an a la carte menu. So it walks in and says, you know, if you put this much PV on your roof, it'll cost this. Mm-hmm. If you have to change the panel box, it'll cost this. And this is the paybacks, and we get all this stuff. Okay. So what biggest problem that we have in some cases is if a painter wants to come paint your house, he shows up after his paint job, stops in your house in 20 minutes and gives you a quote. A solar guy comes in, spends 2 hours figuring out, you know, got to go do some calculations and everything else, and gives you a quote. And then your jaw drops when he says $25,000 and he doesn't get any customers. Okay. So this little model brings us all in, economies of scale, the workers go from one place to the other place to the other place, and they've reduced these costs down. Okay. It kind of tends to be feast or famine. You might have 10 contractors in the city, and all of a sudden now one of them has got 100 jobs and the other guys don't have any. So we can argue about how it works, but that's one way to do it. And so I strongly encourage on the website, a lot of good educational materials. You know, my organization does calculations. I can tell you technically what you can do and things like that. I can't tell you how good customer service is. I can't tell you this. I can't do that. Okay. So we're happy to provide that. There's information. My website tells you all the approved PV panels that have been tested and certified. Every vendor who does things in has to go ahead and the line drawings that they actually do for the wires and everything that they put on the thing, those have to be approved. And quite often we're involved in that process. Okay. Yeah. So this design, this thing, we've approved it already.
Yeah.
Mean they don't install it right, though.
Yeah. But. Yeah. I don't think this is coming from Florida, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at the federal level, is there any talk of subsidies or, you know, meaningful tax rebates for homeowners to bring those upfront costs down? Because I'm the exact person Craig is talking about. I'd love to have solar. I do not have 20 grand burning a hole in my pocket. And could I take it out of the
stock? Well, if you had 20 grand burning a hole in your pocket, you'd have already spent it because it's burning a hole in your pocket. I want 20 grand that you're already investing. Okay.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. The point being, subsidies, tax rebates. Is the federal government, you know, thinking about doing anything to bring that initial cost down, or the state government?
To my knowledge, the one for state and solar is that you don't pay sales tax. That's the one we've got on that for solar. Okay. Now, the federal government, just through this bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act, all kinds of goodies. So efficiency measures, heat pumps, insulation, all those kind of things. Yes, PV. Yes, on PV and batteries as well. Okay. So there's 30% income tax credits. Now you got to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So do we just, you know, and you're arguing they're talking about non-for-profits and religious organizations who don't pay taxes to maybe even still get a credit. I don't think they've figured that out. Okay. So if there's a tax credit advantage, 30%. So if there was at the time I bought mine, so I had to give the contractor $10,000, and then I didn't ship $3,000 to those idiots up in Washington at the end of the tax year. Okay. It was a credit. It wasn't a deduction.
Yeah.
I literally kept the money in Florida and shipping it to the idiots. Yeah. Okay. So
that's real money.
Tax credits.
Yeah. Keep it with our idiots in Tallahassee.
Okay. I mean, these things are already cost effective today. The 30% income tax credit makes them even better. Mm-hmm. It still is an upfront. I remind you, any kid who gets a job, first job, and has got a paycheck that's regular, can go into a car dealer and get a car. Mm-hmm. Okay.
True.
They'll give them terrible interest rates, and the kid will walk out with the car. And then if he defaults, they just repossess the car. It's hard to do that on efficiency improvements. And if you don't own the building and stuff, and if you can't make your mortgage in the first place, we can't talk about any of this. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. Habitat for Humanity does a great job with this. Habitat for Humanity is working with people that are affordable housing folks can get engaged in this stuff. So if you can find business models, Habitat for Humanity, they want to build somebody who might not normally afford a house. They don't want to saddle them with an electric bill they can't afford.
Yeah.
Why would they do it? So those groups help make sure that they're energy efficient homes. And we can make really energy efficient small homes with solar and make them net zero and make them cost effective. We can do it. There are more and more builders that are out there offering you that.
Well.
Okay. You can actually go to builders and get net zero energy homes. Okay. And there are some of them that brag about it. Okay. All right. So what they'll actually do is they'll say, well, we grade our homes. that bill over there, what, how energy efficient is his home? Ask him. Ask him what the typical customer is electric bill. We're telling you that, yes, you pay up front more money, okay, but we'll guarantee that your electric bill is lower because we built the house that way. Look, sure, we've got FSEC certification saying we did all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the market is working it. It's just slow. These incentives that the federal government have pushed in will change things. I mean, in 2035, you're not going to be buying a gasoline car. So yeah. I've solved my ship money to Texas problem in 2035. Okay. Now the question
Saudi
is,
Arabia.
Are we importing electricity from somebody else or something crazy? Okay. Are we still importing fossil fuels to make electricity?
Yeah.
You know, so I we'll see. It's exciting future. The reality is it ain't grandpa's future. Yeah. I'll tell you one cute story.
Sure.
Okay. In New York City in 1903, and I'll send you the pictures of this, the Macy's Day Parade. You looked at the street and the answer was find the one car with all these horses and buggies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In 1913, same view, same parade. The question was find the one horse.
Yeah.
Now, you know what the biggest environmental problem was in 1890 in big cities in the world? How do you get rid of all the horse shit?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the only way to get rid of the horse shit was more horses to carry the horse shit out. Okay. All right. And so they did a calculation that I think it was by 1920 in New York City, we'd be 12 feet deep in horse shit. Wow. Okay. Well, the technology came along and created the automobile. Okay. And by the way, way back when, some of those were electric cars too.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We didn't have as good batteries. We didn't have as good a range and you already about charging infrastructure, but it was a battery that turned them on. Okay. Cause we realized mechanical cranking hurt people. So we used the battery at least to start the car, but that's how fast technology is going. And solar is in that same boat. Your LED light bulbs are in that same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, cell phones, you know, that do more than phones, technology things. Okay, as you manufacture more and more of them, their price goes down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know my cell phone price has gone up. In theory, I've gotten a lot more for my value than I did when I got a cell phone a long time ago.
Yeah.
But that's true with technological things. Things that you dig out of the ground. Now, in fairness, we got to get metals out of the ground. We got to do other things still, even with this technology stuff. Okay, but we can recycle and use that. You don't use it up.
Right.
Okay? When you dig fossil fuels out, it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's interesting as we drive more to technology to do the things we want to do and you do the economies of scales, you go ahead and get that. But when it comes to energy use, all the efficiency jobs, all the installation jobs for solar stay right here in Florida. We got twice as many people in agriculture. To me, this is more about jobs than it is energy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's game changing.
Absolutely. James Fenton, director of the Florida Solar Energy Center down at UCF. Thank you for joining us today. And we hope we have a bright future with solar here in the
sunny
United
future.
State.
Yeah. A sunny future. Right.
Hey, I enjoyed this. This was a lot of fun, guys.
Yeah, Craig, solar is so tantalizing because the technology is there.
Yeah.
The room is, especially when you talk about putting solar panels on retention ponds. I look at all these parking lots. You know, we talk about where are we going to put all these solar. Go to the mall, go to the airport, go look
right.
at, why can't you put
colleges?
My God, solar panels, not just on rooftop, but on parking lots. And hey, that solar shade panel would then shade the cars as well, which everyone dies for here in Florida. But it's this frustrating, you know, water everywhere and not a drop to drink kind of a thing. All the answers are right there. And here we sit at 5%.
Yeah, because we've always done it this way. That's the big thing you run into a lot of times is people aren't embracing new technology because they haven't done it before.
It's the transition, right? It's the, you know, I'll give up my, you know, diesel powered dually pickup truck, you know, when you pry
with
it from my cold, when you pry it from my cold dead hands. And it's this mentality of what was good in the 70s and 80s and 60s will work today when, you know, again, every single electric vehicle is better than a gas-powered vehicle. And all of these rooftop solar panels are way better than bringing oil piped from Alaska to Louisiana by then transmitting it to... If we would just, you know, and by we, I mean the legislature largely, And, you know, there's a lot of private companies here that resist it because they're going to have to transition or transition out or change what they do. But, you know, so many of these environmental problems we talk about, the solutions are right there if we just had the will to undertake them.
Well, and here's the thing, and we didn't get into this, but Florida is the state that's most vulnerable to climate change. We've got water surrounding us on three sides, and it's coming up fast. And we've got problems with the heat going up. And, you know, climate change is causing more mosquito-borne diseases, heavier rainfall, so forth. Switching to solar is a big way to combat that.
Absolutely.
And you'd think we're hesitant about doing it.
Right. And using James' economic model, if you just looked at it from a jobs standpoint, you'd think, you know, that's going to go a lot further with our red-blooded legislature than any, you know, conservation, climate change, sea level rise argument will. And just from that standpoint alone, you'd think that solar would have real heft when you look at it from the potential to, like you already said, there's double essentially the energy transmission jobs as there are agriculture. Mm-hmm. That already, that's remarkable.
Yeah. Well, you know, welcome to Florida.
Welcome to Florida.